Welcome back. Cut off again, unfortunately. Apologize for that. Training techniques continued. I was in the process of covering some of the variations on role playing that are helpful to bring to bear if you're dealing with role playing and you're trying to use role playing. And the first I was talking about was role reversal, and that's this idea that you would have people switch halfway through, partially, some of the way through, have them do the opposite role that they started with. And that forces people to not get too attached to one role, but also to see the perspective of the older role. So that can be incredibly effective in some circumstances. That's what the trainer attempted to do in the role play with David Brent. Unfortunately, the role reversal in his case did not provide any additional perspective whatsoever for David Brent. Or you could argue it did. He then got to play the different role and played it equally problematic, but nonetheless, that's one of the things you can do. The alter egos or doubles technique, that would be a role play where you have a second person along with the actor, if you will, and that's acting as that person's conscious or their alter ego, right? And so they would stand behind the person in the role play and feed them information. And so that could be interesting because first, it gets more people involved in the role play. Second, it takes some of the onus of playing the role and all of the, you know, possible stress that goes along with that off of the actors. They now have somebody else that's helping them play the role. So that could be a benefit too. Another technique here is what we call the rotation or fishbowl. And that's where you have everybody observing the same role play, but it can be stopped at any time and the actors can be switched. So what does this mean? Essentially, it means nobody's off the hook, really, right? So you might have, let's say, a role play with three people involved, and you've got five other people watching. Well, those five people aren't on holiday because they can be called in at any particular moment and have to jump into the role play and take the place of one of the actors. So we've got A, follow along, and B, be prepared to take up a role and continue the role play. So that's a helpful way of making sure that everybody's involved in the role play, that not one or two particularly outgoing people take up the roles while everybody else sits back and watches. That's a great way to ensure that everybody gets some face time, if you will. All right, so those are some variations on role playing. When it comes to dealing with a difficult person in a role play, we need to, as best we can, try to rein that person in. We want to not allow them to detract from the overall purpose of the role play. So what we can do with some of those suggestions is get other people involved. So if they've managed to kind of derail the role play, you have to be very careful. If somebody starts playing up in a role play, clowning, if you will, that can really detract from the whole thing. And the other members won't take it anywhere near as serious either. So you have choices. You can remove that difficult person. You can give them a different role, see if that better situates them. You can just simply replace them from the role play and have other people take up those characters, or you can get them involved in a rotation that obviously takes some of the emphasis off of them and places it on lots of other people. So they don't become the focal point and they just don't have the opportunity to be as disruptive as they would be if they just stayed in the same role and continued to detract from that role. Okay, well, we're finished then with role playing, which also wraps up the different types of training techniques. The last part of the podcast will be devoted to actually designing and directing training, and I'll do that as a separate podcast, so go ahead and move to that podcast at this point.